Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Hoo-ah! The Frontlines of Freedom team really appreciate you joining us for the second hour of the show on this fine day in America. We are and should be proud Americans. Here's what we have for you this hour. First, co-host Quentin Roberts and I will talk with Nate Pine, the Air Force Academy's athletic director. Then we'll review last weekend's Service Academy football games, and Gill and Skip will present The Border in a Book. Quentin, I appreciate you, brother. And it's a pleasure to welcome Nate Pine, our Air Force Academy's athletic director. Thanks for joining us today, Nate.
Well, my pleasure. Thanks for having me, gentlemen.
Quentin, since you played football at Air Force, you take it from here.
Well, Danny, that was back in the days of leather helmets. But nonetheless, I do want to welcome Nate for joining us today. I'm going to give a brief introduction so our listeners can know who this distinguished gentleman is. Since January of 2019, Mr. Nathan Pine has manned the Director of Athletics post at the U.S. Air Force Academy. Since his arrival from Holy Cross, Nate has ushered in a period of success unseen before at the Air Force Academy. In 2023 and 2024, Air Force finished as the top service academy in the Learfield Director's Cup and the top program in the Mountain West Conference for the fourth straight year. Falcons also completed a four-year run in football with a 40-12 overall record, the school's first appearance in the college football playoff poll, and a fifth consecutive bowl win. Off the field, Nate has also directed Air Force's record-breaking fundraising efforts each year since 2019, resulting in a $90 million renovation of Falcon Stadium and upgrades to numerous other athletic facilities. He has also increased Air Force's brand awareness with events such as the 2020 NHL Stadium Series, extended the contract with Nike for their uniform series, and landed a multi-year TV deal with Altitude Sports and Entertainment. A native of Eagle Point, Oregon, Nate received his bachelor's degree from Oregon State University and a master's degree from Cal Berkeley. He and his wife now reside in Colorado Springs with their two dogs, Lola and Scout. Nate, thanks for joining us today.
Quinn, thanks for the introduction, man. That's a heck of an introduction. I think what it speaks to is we've got a pretty incredible team of folks that are having a lot of success and all pulling in the same direction. So those are accolades heaped on the entire athletic department and a lot of quality folks that are helping to make those happen.
Well, you know, as I looked in your background, I saw that you also spent time at West Point prior to coming to Air Force a little earlier in your career. And how did that time help you acclimate as you came to Air Force?
Well, Quentin, not everyone gets it right the first time. So it takes a little while.
Don't tell Denny that, right?
That was for Denny. In all seriousness, that was my second stop at West Point. And it gave me a familiarity with the academies, which has certainly served me well since coming to Air Force. But an introduction to really high-level college athletics, just done a little bit differently. So I've had stops at Oregon State and Cal and Maryland, and we know how those big programs operate. The academies have a different mission and different challenges and also some different advantages. And so I got a peek behind the curtain while I was at West Point for 4 years with Kevin Anderson, seeing how Army did it. And then now, coming on 6 years at Air Force, we do it a little bit different, but certainly more similar to our sister service academies than, you know, even the other schools we're competing against in the Mountain West or the Group of Six.
Well, that's an excellent background, really is, gives you, you know, again, good variety. And I want to turn to conference realignment, as it's been a major topic in college football for the past few years, and Air Force has seen some back in, again, the days of the leather helmet. There's this conference called the Western Athletic Conference that we competed in, and now it's the Mountain West Conference that Air Force is in. And Air Force is always mentioned prominently in those discussions. And what I want to ask you is, what are the considerations that go into making those decisions as to what to do and when to do it? They seem like very complex decisions to make.
Well, they are, and you know, only time will tell if we get it right. You know, that's the thing, is hindsight will be 20/20 on these, always will. When we look at conference realignment, I would say Air Force is fortunate because of our national following, because of our pretty incredible success. We're a desirable brand. We're a desirable institution to align yourself with. And so to your point, we do have some options. And the challenge is always looking at those, evaluating them, trying to forecast where this thing is going in FBS football and make sure that we're setting our cadet athletes up for success. We're setting our institution up for success. And ultimately, we're graduating and commissioning second lieutenants each May, because that is priority number one in our mission directive. So we understand that, and trying to make the other things fit into place in the most logical way. Ultimately, we decided that moving forward and really being an anchor to rebuild the Mountain West was appropriate for Air Force. We look at that through a few different lenses. We look at it through who we compete with. Obviously, we're very comfortable with the footprint of the Mountain West. We look at it through student athlete experience, travel, and what that looks like with our rigorous academics that maybe look different from other places. And the day in the life of the cadet is certainly not a day in the life of a normal student athlete other places. So we need to be very cognizant about those as we look at them, you know, make sure that one, we understand who we are and what we're trying to do. Two, we're setting up the institution and our cadet athletes for success moving forward. And ultimately, that was keeping the Mountain West, anchoring that together and rebuilding the conference that we helped found in, you know, 1999.
Okay. Well, I think that's a tremendous insight into kind of why those decisions are made. And that's what we always like to get a little peek behind the curtain. And I want to ask you, too, that as you look forward, you know, in terms of the athletics department as a whole, what are your priorities for the department and how do you define success?
Well, I think we look at it a couple of ways. If we look at it, let's start with the football lens, because that's often the first that people are looking at. When we talk about what our vision and goals are, we aspire to win a Mountain West championship. We want to win a CIC trophy. That's table stakes going into every season. We have games against Army and Navy that are critically important. We want to make sure we're coming out on top of those. And we haven't been for a couple of years. We had a visit to the White House in the last few, but we'd like to have a lot more. So that going into each year is a goal that we set out to have, and then make sure that we play in a quality bowl game. So when you look at it through the football lens, those are our goals. When you look at it maybe more broadly across all of our 27 sports, we talk about being a top 75 program in the Learfield Directors Cup. The Learfield Directors Cup gives you comprehensive program success. How many of your teams make postseason NCAA play, and then how far they go in their NCAA championships, and it's put in an algorithm. So you're able to run 1 through 354 Division I programs and see where you come out. And so top 75 puts us in the top 25% of Division I. And in my opinion, that has us punching above our weight class. And so that's our goal. And fortunately, we've been there. The last 6 years, we've been top 75 program. We've led the Mountain West the last four. We've been the top service academy for the last 11. So we're having comprehensive success across many programs. But that's how we talk about it. That's how we articulate it, because that's how our cadet athletes understand how their sport is important and how their performance is important in the overall success of the department. It's also a way that our alums and our fans can get involved and understand that it is more than just football. Football is very important, but all of our programs, again, as I said earlier, pulling in the same direction and contributing to that success is measurable.
Well, and you're very right. Well, 27 sports, that's a lot to cover, and that impacts a lot of students. And many of those students are going on, of course, most, if not all, to become Air and Space Force officers. From your lens, and briefly, what lessons do you want them to gain through athletics?
I think you look at the will to win and a warrior ethos. I think that's instilled in athletics. Being able to get knocked down and pick yourself back up, regroup, being able to adjust in game, being able to communicate and make sure that you can lead. You know, as a freshman, you might be following and taking directions, but as you become an upperclassman on a sports program, you are getting leadership lessons, you know, in real time that I think is hard to replicate. So we talk about setting our cadet athletes up for success, even against their peers at the Air Force Academy, because a lot of those experiences that they go through over their 4 years. And so we talked about it at the top of the show, making sure that we graduate and commission quality Air Force and Space Force officers is something we talk about on a daily basis in our team settings, and our coaches are bought into, and we know the proof's in the pudding. We see the quality of individuals that we graduate each May, and we get a flight follow them through their Air Force and Space Force careers, and we're proud of what they're doing.
Well, Nate, thank you so much for that insight. It's been a pleasure having you today, and I'll turn it back over to Denny.
Yeah, again, thank you, Nate. Your insights were great. Quentin, you'll be back on in just a minute, so don't go anywhere. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. It's time to do some knee bends. Go halfway down each time. Do about 50. Do this while thinking patriotic thoughts. We'll be right back. It's time to switch to Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you access to all three major networks. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you support the First and Second Amendment, the sanctity of life, our military veterans, and first responder heroes. Just go to patriotmobile.com/frontlines. Get a free month when you use the offer code FRONTLINES.
There is no doubt veterans sacrifice and service to this country. For decades now, troops have been sent around the globe to fight, putting their lives on the line, but with no clear U.S. interest to protect.
To honor that sacrifice, Concerned Veterans for America is working to end our nation's endless wars. As veterans ourselves, we know a better foreign policy can make our troops and our country safer.
Learn more about how you can help by visiting cvafrontlines.com. That's cvafrontlines.com.
Suppose you are forced to defend yourself or your family. This can happen to anybody, so it's important to be prepared. You will likely face legal bills. Even if you're in the right in a self-defense situation, there will almost always be an investigation and you may find yourself in the legal system. U.S. Law Shield is here to help you through these events. Experienced U.S. Law Shield attorneys are ready to defend you 24/7, 365. To sign up, go to uslawshield.com and use promo code FRONTLINES. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Thanks for joining us today on Frontlines of Freedom. And it's Service Academy football time. I'm joined, of course, by Quentin Roberts. We were just together. Welcome, brother. Let's rock and roll.
Danny, ready to do it. Let's get it on.
Well, this past weekend, Army did really well. Beat Air Force 20-3. Navy lost, Coast Guard lost, and Merchant Marine didn't play. So I guess we'll start with the winner, huh?
Well, Danny, we've got to start. It's a Service Academy Commander-in-Chief's rival game in beautiful, famed Mikey Stadium. It was the number 25-ranked Army Black Knights defeating the Air Force Falcons 20-3 at a sold-out Mikey Stadium. Army revealed their special black flag, skull helmets, for the first time, utilizing the unofficial football program logo on their uniform. Despite missing starting quarterback Bryson Daly, who really is a Heisman frontrunner, Army relied on sophomore running back Kanye Udo, who rattled off a career best 158 yards rushing and scored 2 touchdowns, averaging 7.2 yards a carry. The Black Knights went up 6-0 before Air Force had a field goal in the second quarter, and they took a 6-3 halftime lead into the locker room. Air Force was in the game. It looked like it could be done, but that Army defense was just relentless. In the second half, they forced 3 interceptions. They shut down the Air Force offense, who was only able to muster that 3 points they gained in the second quarter. Army was able to convert those turnovers into points and was able to score a touchdown in the third and in the fourth behind Kanye Udo's strong running and protecting the ball. As we look at a tail of the tape, Air Force had 209 yards total offense, Army 255, which is way below their season average, rushing for only 207, but 150 of that 207 came in the second half. Air Force was able to muster a measly 117 yards on the ground. And despite the fact that Air Force did win the time of possession battle, 31 minutes and 50 seconds to 28:09 for Army, Air Force's offense, which has been struggling all year to put up points, just could not get anything going. And of course, Army is undefeated. They moved to 8-0 on the season. Air Force moved to 1-7 on the season. Army is ranked number 25 in the initial college football playoff poll for the year and really earned that victory. It was a hard-fought game, and to be honest with you, for it to be 6-3 at halftime and only to lose by 17 points, while there's no moral victories, was somewhat of a consolation for Air Force because Army is really that strong this year. But of course, you also have to take into the fact that they did not have Bryson Daly. With Bryson Daly, I think we would have been looking at probably at least another touchdown on top of that. So Army wins the first leg of the Commander-in-Chief's Trophy. In addition to Navy defeating Air Force, the Army-Navy game will be for the Commander-in-Chief's Trophy at the end of the season.
It will be, and there's the possibility the Army and Navy will play each other twice, isn't there?
There is, because of the AAC championship game. And as we mentioned, that Navy's efforts for that took a slight detour as they suffered a tough defeat at the hands of the Rice Owls in Houston, Texas, 24-10. After failing to take advantage of the national spotlight against Notre Dame, Navy struggled for the second consecutive week against a 2-6, now 3-6 Rice team. The game was delayed three times due to severe lightning and almost 3 inches of rain for a total of 5 hours and 6 minutes, including 2 hours and 25 minutes to delay the start of the game. And those delays seemed to affect Navy's ability to find a rhythm offensively as the mids were off of their game from the very beginning. The defense forced a 3-and-out on Rice's first drive, but on quarterback Blake Horvath's first pass, he gave it right back to them. And with an interception, Rice ran 4 plays that got the ball down to the Navy 5-yard line, had another lightning delay, and then scored on the first play when they resumed to go up 7-0. In the first quarter overall, Rice was able to put up 14 points, 3 in the second to go up 17-0 before Navy even got on the board. They were able to muster a touchdown in the second quarter to go into the half at a 17-7 deficit. In the second half, though, the defense played tough. They only gave up a touchdown, but the offense just could not move the ball consistently. They mustered a field goal in the fourth quarter to fall 24-10. When we look at the total yards, it was Rice 344 yards of total offense, Navy way below their average at 260 of total offense. Balanced game, 120 through the air, 140 on the ground, but it just wasn't enough with those turnovers as they committed 2 costly turnovers. Now the defense, to their credit, did earn 2 turnovers as well to keep them in the game, but the offense just could not get that rhythm and really fell well short of what they did usually do for the second straight week. So they're struggling to find their footing, and they have to do it quickly because the season will not get any easier.
Well said. Coast Guard lost to Worcester Poly Institute 14-38.
Yes, Danny, I tell you what, Coast Guard is another one that is just having trouble really defensively more than anything. I mean, you know, in their losses, they have given up 38, 34, and 52, and that's just their last 3 losses. I mean, so you've got to slow some teams down. And of course, sometimes the best defense is a good offense. And when you only score 14 points, that's not going to get it done. So, yes, Coast Guard fell to WPI, who's a good team, and it's not going to get any easier next week for them either.
Indeed. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking Service Academy football. This weekend, Army's at North Texas.
Yeah, Danny, you know, this North Texas game should be one that Army can, again, continue to roll. We're going to see if Bryson Daly's going to play. That's a little bit up in the air. So we're going to have to stay tuned for that. And it's an undisclosed reason. I believe it's an injury of some sort as to why he's out. But the Mean Green are 5-3. They're coming off 2 straight losses and a bye week. And Army is favored by 5.5 points on that. But I will say the countdown is for Notre Dame, November 23rd, ranked number 10 in the initial college football playoff poll and fighting for a place in the playoff. If Army can beat Notre Dame and then go on and seal up the AAC, they will have an excellent chance to get into the college football playoff.
Indeed. Navy's versus South Florida. What should that look like?
Oh, Danny, Navy and South Florida's should be a good game. Hopefully Navy will be able to get back on the kind of the right side of the win column here. And this one is really all about Navy. Can they just do the things that they were doing early in the season, knock off the rust, and really play good football? If they do, they should come away with a victory.
And Air Force is at Fresno State.
Now, that one's going to look a little tougher. You know, the Falcons have only won 1 game this year. That's the first game of the season. And the schedule is not getting any easier. Are they playing some better football? Yes. Have they found a quarterback? Hopefully with Quentin Hayes. But now they have to put it together. They have to do it for four quarters in order to get a victory. And none of these teams down the stretch are going to be cupcakes. They're going to have to play good football.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Quentin. We'll be back at it next week, brother. Charge on.
All right. Looking forward to it, Danny, as always.
Coming up next on Frontlines of Freedom, Gil and Skip will present The Border in a Book, and we'll open our weekly mailbag. Troops, I hope you're giving serious thought to buying gold and silver to keep your future more secure. Check out Universal Coin. That's where I go. Check universalcoin.com/Denny. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's time for one-arm push-ups. Just do a dozen with each arm twice, then take a break and stay in the area. I'll be right back. Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to vetted veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code.
Fresh, flash, frozen from the American farmer every time. PatriotFoods.com, hit the shop now button. You're supporting a veteran family in need every time you shop. Look at us online, see how we give back. For the servicemen and women of this great country, we are fighting for the American farmer. PatriotFoods.com, promo code FREEDOM, 10% off today, folks. Shop now.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. I buy Patriot Foods. It's great. PatriotFoods.com, promo code FREEDOM. Welcome back to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Troops, I really do welcome your comments and questions. Contact me through frontlinesoffreedom.com or comment on Facebook. And now it's time for the Marine B&B. Marine vet Gil Mazza, a retired border patrolman, will discuss our nation's southern border. Welcome, Gil. Well, glad you're back, bro.
Good morning, Colonel.
And Marine vet and author, oh yeah, and FOF co-host, Skip Coriel, will present another interesting book. Skip, well, you've already been on the show, so I don't need to introduce you. Okay, Gil, you're up. Our nation's borders are, says that everything is well on the border. Any comments?
Yes, it actually is. They're to be congratulated because border crossings, even though they're starting to rise in the last few weeks across the southern border, they have been the lowest they've been this entire administration. And so congratulations is in order because now they have managed to shift the entirety of this Biden Scamala border invasion and border security breach, the biggest one in the history of our country, they've managed to shift it behind the scenes. So while Biden still is flying illegal aliens in from across the entire world, while CBP-1 is allowing, almost up to 300,000 a month are being flown in and allowed in to the country through the CBP-1 app and the flights, they've managed to max out and expand every legal pathway to citizenship as well. So, you know, yeah, things are looking good on the outside, but on the inside, they're still as about putrid and corrupt as you can imagine.
What's the CBP-1 app?
The CBP-1 app was created by this administration through Alejandro Mayorkas and DHS to literally say, if you want to get smuggled into this country, do not go to the cartels. We have an app for that. And so while in the beginning, people that wanted to come into this country had to apply from just outside the United States, the cartels took advantage of the CBP-1 app. That's, you know, again, a government app. This is our official government smuggling app. They took advantage of it and now are able to allow people to sign up for appointments for their fraudulent asylum claims from all over the world. So all you got to do is fly in from Uzbekistan or any place else in the world and show your appointment on your phone and you will be allowed access to come into the country and then be released almost immediately.
Well, that makes it easier for Border Patrol guys. Not that much they have to do then, right?
Well, yes. So again, that's why this administration is touting success on the border, because while they've done nothing except just exasperate the problem just to the worst degree imaginable, right? They've managed now to be able to hide it well from the American public, even though by the time this airs, the election will have already been over and we are experienced or have seen the worst and most catastrophic, you know, illegal alien invasion in the history of our country.
Yeah, but other than that, isn't everything okay?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. I'm assuming that by this point, we will know whether we have to sit down and figure out each other's gender, or we're actually going to be about starting to bring this country back to some sanity.
So these illegal aliens, I bet some of them might even be criminals or terrorists. Could that be true?
Well, the good thing is that regardless of who is in power at the moment for this administration, we have already allowed, Colonel, I don't know how many international cartels and criminal organizations to set footholds on every single major city in this country. Okay. And I'll tell you this, and this is what my worry is that we've imported so many military aged men from China and all these and Russia and all these other countries, 170 different countries, and spread them across the entire United States, that all it would take is maybe one text and they could overwhelm our police departments, our military bases by sheer numbers alone. That's not about to happen or going to happen. That's already a reality just by the numbers alone across the country.
You know, Iran has said that they want to kill President Trump. Could they have sent some people here to do that?
Well, you know, I think we have plenty of people in the United States that want to see Trump dead. But again, you know, we don't even know, Colonel, the level of illegal aliens, terrorists that we have set loose across the country. And according to Alejandro Mayorkas, the best way to deal with law enforcement is to have these savages murder one of our citizens first and then go get them. Well, how's that working out for us?
You know, that just doesn't appeal to me. Gil, thank you. That's a perspective that we have not discussed before. I appreciate you, bro.
Let's hope sanity returns to the country here by the time this airs.
Amen, brother. This is Colonel Denny Gilliman, Frontlines of Freedom. Now it's time for Skip to share a book. Something about an uprising? You're on, brother.
Well, yeah, Colonel. I mean, I just thought I would bring you some happy news. You know, because let's face it, Gil, I mean, he's very knowledgeable. He knows all about the border, but there's not a whole lot of good things happening down there. So, you know, let's talk about fiction, something that could never, ever happen here in the United States. So the name of the book this week is called Uprising USA, and it's written by an Army combat veteran named George Hill. And let me just read his summary here. It says, after a Chinese biological attack, now that could never happen, right? This is all fiction. This was written like 14 years ago.
You're killing us.
I know. After a Chinese biological attack leaves 90% of the United States infected by the zombie virus, George Hill, a.k.a. the Mad Ogre, springs to the defense of his country with every manner of firepower known to mankind. George and his allies beat back the zombie hordes, killing hundreds of thousands of the undead beast in an attempt to save America from extinction. This is book one in a four-book series. And I looked this up. There's like Uprising USA, Uprising UK, Uprising Italia. There are zombies all over the world that need to be eradicated by this army vet. And this is a fun novel in kind of a sick and twisted way, because this guy, he's a weapons specialist. And so if you love guns, if you get into the nitty gritty of military grade weaponry, you'll love this, because he kills zombies in all different kinds of new and creative ways. You know, he's only limited by his own creativity. So, I mean, he uses laws, he uses Bradley fighting vehicles, MOABs, mother of all bombs, you name it, this guy can kill zombies. He makes, you know, that big Hollywood movie called Zombieland, right, with Woody Harrelson. You know, he makes Woody Harrelson look like a wimp, you know, because he is incredibly efficient. Military tactics are fantastic. You will learn a lot about guns and military weaponry just by reading this fictional account. Although, you know, Gil, question for you.
Sure.
Have there been any news accounts, anything reported on the southern border? Anyone being bitten by illegal aliens coming through? Any infections? Anything like that?
Well, you know, putting you know, reality aside and not mentioning the fact of the outbreaks of all these diseases that we had already eliminated in the United States now making a comeback and also becoming major outbreaks in almost all our major cities where the illegals have been shifted to. But I think I got a spoiler alert for you. I think at the end of the story, the entire hordes get eliminated simply by an administration change.
I'm concerned that this could be biased against zombies. This could be a prejudice situation. Oh,
that's right. And what gender are these zombies? How do we know?
I'll tell you this. If there's zombies out there right now listening and they're getting harassed because of this book, there's going to be an outrage.
Well, so, and how many of these zombies voted in the last election? And will we ever know?
That's something worth checking out. Okay. Thank you, Skip. We do a pretty good job of putting up with each other, don't we?
That's your story, Colonel.
Yeah. And thank you, Gil, for being part of the team and for your service to our nation, I think. Anyway, you're back on in a minute, Skip. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Next up, it's time for our weekly mailbag. Then it's military history time. You're reporting for duty to Frontlines of Freedom. Stand tall, troop. Let's do some more push-ups. How about 64 this time? I want your Ranger ready. Then stand at ease.
HelpVet.net was created to be the nation's number one resource center for all veterans, active military, and families. At HelpVet.net, you'll find up-to-date information on benefits available through the VA, resources on education, employment, health and wellness, and more. Find hundreds of nationally recognized organizations offering discounts on products and services, as well as local organizations from attorneys to yoga studios. You'll find them at HelpVet.net. Visit HelpVet.net for all your family's needs.
In business for over 30 years with over $1 billion in sales, Universal Coin and Bullion is my go-to source for gold and silver coins. And right now, they're offering our listeners a newly minted 0.99 fine 1 ounce 2024 silver American Eagle coin for just $27. Call 800-UCB-GOLD, 800-UCB-GOLD, or go to their website at universalcoin.com/Denny. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. This is the final formation for this week on Frontlines of Freedom. I do some coin collecting. Universal Coin was the dealer of the year for the American Numismatic Association. It's a great place to go for coins and a great place to go to get silver and gold. I encourage you to go to universalcoin.com/Denny and check them out. Okay, team, it's mailbag time. I welcome comments from you, our listeners. Send your comments to me at Denny@frontlinesoffreedom.com or on Facebook. Okay, Skip, what's the first comment?
Well, Colonel, Army Mom Michelle thanked you for reminding folks to vote. She did, but on the very last day.
Good job, Michelle. I hope you voted for the guy I did.
And Sean, a Coast Guard vet, is really concerned about our nation's stockpile of weapons, equipment, and fuel. He believes we're way understocked.
Sean, I totally agree with you. Our current government leaders seem not concerned about keeping our military trained and equipped for combat. We're sure giving stuff away. Okay, now it's time for military history. What's first, Skip?
Well, Colonel, on 15 November 1777, during the Revolutionary War, after 16 months of debate, the Continental Congress, sitting in its temporary capital of York, Pennsylvania, agreed to adopt the Articles of Confederation and Perpetual Union. Not until March 1st, 1781, would the last of the 13 states, Maryland, ratify the agreement. The Articles of Confederation were the legal document that bound the colonies into a single nation, but the Articles created a very weak central government, so weak that they were ultimately replaced by the Constitution.
Indeed, that's true. And on 15 November 1864, during a civil war, Union General William Tecumseh Sherman began his expedition across Georgia by torching the industrial section of Atlanta and pulling away from his supply lines. For the next 6 weeks, Sherman's army destroyed most of Georgia before capturing the Confederate seaport of Savannah, Georgia.
And on 11 November 1918, at the 11th hour on the 11th day of the 11th month of 1918, the Great War ended. At 5 a.m. that morning, Germany, bereft of manpower and supplies and faced with imminent invasion, signed an armistice agreement with the Allies in a railroad car outside Compiègne, France. The First World War left 9 million soldiers dead and 21 million wounded, with Germany, Russia, Austria-Hungary, France, and Great Britain each losing nearly a million or more lives. In addition, at least 5 million civilians died from disease, starvation, or exposure. The armistice stopped the shooting. Peace treaty was signed later.
So it became Armistice Day, but now it's Veterans Day. Be sure to celebrate it. Okay, on November 11th, 1921, exactly 3 years after the end of World War I, the Tomb of the Unknowns was dedicated in Arlington National Cemetery during an Armistice Day ceremony presided over by President Warren Harding. 2 days before, an unknown American soldier who'd fallen somewhere on a World War I battlefield arrived at the nation's capital from a military cemetery in France. On Armistice Day, in the presence of President Harding and other government, military, and international dignitaries, the unknown soldier was buried with highest honors beside the Memorial Amphitheater. As the soldier was lowered into his final resting place, a 2-inch layer of soil brought from France was placed below the coffin so that he might rest forever atop the earth on which he died.
And on 11 November 1942, during World War II, Congress approved lowering the draft age to 18 and raising the upper limit to 37. In 1940, World War II had begun in Europe, but we were not involved. Congress, by wide margins in both houses, passed the Burke-Wadsworth Act, and the first peacetime draft was imposed in the history of the United States. The registration of men began exactly 1 month later. There were some 20 million eligible young men. 50% were rejected the very first year, either for health reasons or because 20% of those who registered were illiterate.
I wonder if we're any different now. And on 14 November 1965, during the Vietnam War, in the first major engagement of the war between regular U.S. and North Vietnamese forces, elements of the 3rd Brigade, 1st Cavalry Division, Air Mobile, fought a pitched battle with Communist Main Force units in the Iron Drang Valley of the Central Highlands. On this morning, Lieutenant Colonel Hal Moore's 1st Battalion, 7th Cav, conducted a hill-borne assault into Landing Zone X-Ray near the Chu Phong Hills. Around noon, the North Vietnamese 33rd Regiment attacked the U.S. troopers. The fight continued all day and into the night. American soldiers received support from nearby artillery units and tactical airstrikes. The next morning, the North Vietnamese 66th Regiment joined the attack against our troops. The fighting was bitter, but the tactical airstrikes and artillery support took their toll on the enemy and enabled the 1st Cav troopers to hold on against repeated assaults.
And on 13 November 1982, near the end of a week-long national salute to Americans who served in the Vietnam War, the Vietnam Veterans Memorial was dedicated in Washington after a march to its site by thousands of veterans of the conflict. The long-awaited memorial was a simple V-shaped black granite wall inscribed with the names of the 57,939 Americans who died in the conflict, arranged in order of death, not rank, as was common in other memorials.
And that's military history for today. What would you do if you were forced to defend yourself or your family? These situations can happen to anybody, but it's important to be prepared. In addition to being the worst day of your life, you can face a large amount of legal bills. Even if you're in the right in a self-defense situation, there almost always be an investigation, and you can find yourself in a legal system. It's just the way the law works sometimes. This is why U.S. Law Shield was formed. They're here to help people through events who never thought that would happen to them. With their Legal Defense for Self-Defense program, experienced attorneys are always ready to defend you 24/7, 365. To begin your membership or check them out, go to uslawshield.com and use the promo code FRONTLINES. And now it's time for our self-defense report. Take us there, bro.
All of us here at Frontlines of Freedom believe strongly in your right to keep and bear arms for protection of yourself and your family. All across the country, violent crime is skyrocketing, and now more than ever, Americans need to stand up and exercise their Second Amendment rights. Now is the time to get trained and ready to handle this growing threat. But if you're not, please look into it and learn what you can do to legally carry a firearm to protect the ones you love. What's the story this week, Colonel?
Well, this is unusual. A Georgia homeowner found himself in a life or death situation when he fatally shot an off-duty Atlanta police officer. Video surveillance footage shows the off-duty officer, Aubrey Horton, shirtless and shoeless, attempting to break into the residence just after 5 a.m. The homeowner, acting in self-defense, shot Horton after he forcibly entered the home. The homeowner asked the intruder, "Who are you?" Horton responded with, "I love you, no, just kill me," before lying down on the porch. When the homeowner cracked the door to assess the situation, Horton rushed inside, knocking him to the ground. In a moment of fear for his life, the homeowner discharged a single shot, resulting in Horton's death.
Thanks, Colonel. This really is a very unusual home invasion, so I did more research, and here's what I found out. The off-duty officer, he was a highly decorated police officer with nothing in his past that suggested he would do anything like this. Just a few days before the event, the officer had just been named Investigator of the Year by the Atlanta Police Foundation. Investigators suspect that he may have had a mental episode or that he was under the influence of drugs or alcohol and are awaiting results from the toxicology report. Regardless of the intruder's motives, no criminal charges will be brought against the homeowner. Our Georgia homeowner's actions were reasonable and good up to a point. First, let's go over what he did right. First, he woke up to the sound of a potential intruder and immediately retrieved his firearm. That's always a good first step because you really don't know what's going on. Get the gun and have it ready just in case. Second, he went downstairs to investigate, but he stayed inside the home. He looked out the windows to get more information about what was going on outside. Third, he tried to talk to the intruder through the door and reason with him. In this case, it didn't work, but at least he tried because the man seemed to have a death wish. Now, what did he do wrong? Well, I can only see one thing, but it was a game changer. He opened the door just a crack so that he could talk to the man more effectively. That's when the intruder burst in and jumped on top of the homeowner and the fatal shot was fired. If the homeowner had remained inside behind locked doors and called 911, then this troubled officer would probably still be alive. His fellow police would have come to the scene, tasered him, and took him into custody so he could get the help that he needed. That's the one mistake I see homeowners make over and over again. They leave the safety of their home to investigate an intruder. My best advice is to just stay inside, call police, and let them handle it. Frontlines of Freedom salutes the homeowner, and we sympathize with the officer and his surviving family members. This homeowner did what he had to do, and he survived. But it's a very sad story.
It is indeed. Our movie of the month is Salt. It's a Thanksgiving story. You can go to the Frontlines of Freedom website, go to the blog and get the link and watch it for free. I'd appreciate getting your comments on the movie. Send your comments to me at denny@frontlinesoffreedom.com. Next week on Frontlines of Freedom, Gordon Chang will present his books, China is Going to War and The Coming Collapse of China. Then Frank Larkin will discuss Warrior's Call and will review this weekend's Surface Academy football games. Our book, Frontlines of Freedom, with 19 authors, has the mission of helping all patriotic Americans step up and help our nation return to our traditional values of serving, not being served, of being in shape physically, mentally, and morally, of being proud of our nation. And it's now available in Spanish. You can purchase the book on frontlinesoffreedom.com or Amazon. Please help us get this call to action book into the hands of all Americans. And do get active in correcting our nation. Plug into Concerned Veterans for America. Go to cvafrontlines.com. That's cvafrontlines.com.
Thank you, friends, for joining us for Frontlines of Freedom today and every week on this great station. Please check us out on Facebook and add your comments. And if you missed any part of this show, all our shows are available on demand at frontlinesoffreedom.com. We especially thank our military listeners for serving our country with honor and dignity and for keeping us all safe. God bless you and your families as you serve.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Thank you, listeners all across America, for joining us in the foxholes on the front lines of freedom. Stand tall, be proud Americans, and join me next week for military and veteran information you will not get anywhere else on the front lines of freedom. Dismissed.